Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Untangled FM, the Sarah Ellis Show. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you're clearing all the old energies of last year and ready to go into 2013 with a bang, because, oh my gosh, have we got a bang for you tonight. I have managed to find a fabulous guest, and that's actually a bit of a story. Well, there's always a bit of a story with me. It is somebody that I was a great role model for me about 5 or 6 years ago, and I followed his work. Okay, I was actually a bit of a stalker, I'll admit. I was stalking him, but that's okay. And so it's really strange that it's come full circle, and I've made contact with him recently, and he's on my show tonight. I'm going to be talking to him. It's so exciting. And you really are in for a treat. I spoke to him last night on Skype before I went to bed, and it was like a wonderful trance-like bedtime story, sort of like Alice in Wonderland, and I had wonderful dreams. He really is an amazing guy, and I'm not allowed to call him a guru, but he really is a very knowledgeable in the area of sex, spirituality, and all those things. Because, you know, I can't stand these people that go and do they get a PhD on the internet and they set themselves up as experts and spiritual people. And they're about as spiritual as the milkman. Well, anyway, let's not focus on them, because tonight I really have managed to get a fabulous guest for you. And we're in for a great treat. I can't wait to get talking. I'm a bit nervous. I'm a bit like a schoolgirl with a crush, so please bear with me. And I'd like to introduce my fabulous guest for this evening. Thanks for coming on, George L. Presley.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me on your show, and thanks for having your crush. To me, that's emotional, and I appreciate your true emotionalness. You know, I like what you said about the story last night, too. And for people who are listening, I want to warn you up front that we're not going to be talking about anything serious. We're only going to be talking about what I call spiritual entertainment. And the reason that I say that is because I don't know if we ended up having the title that I asked for, but it has something to do with spiritual beings in their bodies. In order to get people really enjoying sex, then it really has to do with feelings, right? And feelings come from the spiritual beings, and the spiritual beings are in the bodies that they need to have sex, and it gets really complicated, and we're here to kind of straighten that out a little bit, hopefully, along with whatever else we talk about. And so it's really important that people realize that anything we talk about tonight, it's just spiritual entertainment. I have this wonderful disclaimer on my website that makes that perfectly clear. And I just wanted to say that it's like maybe a little bit of science fiction that we're going to talk about, a little bit of like a romantic, legendary, mystical, enchanting fairy tale mixed in with some science fiction. But it just has absolutely nothing to do with real life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'm all about having fun on my show. That's one of my rules. So sounds like we're going to have a great time. Okay, so let's get started. How do we be free in our bodies? My body's pretty good, actually. I'm not sure I want to be free of it. My body's pretty hot.
Well, you see, that's a wonderful, there you go right there, the ace of spades, you know, birth person that you are. It's a very mystical thing that you're bringing up in terms of getting free of the body. And it, right away, you went right to the spiritual, it sounded like to me. And that's what I wanted to lay down as a foundation for whatever we want to talk about tonight, because you had said that you wanted to talk about sex, and so then I said, oh, well, then I want to talk about spiritual beings in their bodies. Because that's how to have, you know, a kind of sex that I, like I said, it's going to be like science fiction, how amazing it could be. It's going to be like, a fairy tale type of experience, because here's what happens. People go to the movies, they read a book, or they just think, or they fantasize, or whatever they kind of have going on as ideas, right? You know, ideas about sex. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like, there's,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's when you're actually having sex, and then there's when you're not having sex, but you're having ideas about having sex.
Absolutely. Well, I think I mentioned this to you before, that there's this big phenomenon. I don't know if it's hit you over there, but there's a big phenomenon in this country of every woman reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, so they're definitely fantasizing. Whether
exactly.
they're doing it or not, I don't
no.
know.
Right, and it sounds like, well, it's true. I mean, if you're fantasizing while you're, you know, physically doing something, then it's a little bit of a combination of both. You're starting to bring the two worlds together, so to speak, in a certain way. I don't think that they're, you know, putting themselves in handcuffs while they're reading it, or reading in handcuffs, or whatever's going on in that book. I haven't read it. But you know what I mean? It's like your imagination is doing one thing and your body's doing something else. That's not really having sex, if you know what I mean. I had this image that I wanted to, it was a strange image, you know, to bring on a show like this, but it's a pretty classic movie image. I think it happens in real life a lot, but if it was happening to you, you wouldn't be seeing it, you know. So I think you have to refer to when you've maybe seen this in TV or in the movies, and you've got like a man and a woman, they're making love, they're in bed, and the woman's kind of like, you can sort of see over his shoulder to her face, and she's just not into it. Like, he's doing his thing, and she's just kind of like, you know, you can tell that they're not connecting. Do you
know
that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been there, yeah.
Okay, so there's the other example, like from the book, it's sort of the opposite of where you're physically kind of caught up in something that you don't really want to be in, and you're escaping mentally, let's say.
Mm. Oh, yes, I knew that I had to exit a relationship once because I had to fantasize that it was someone else when we were having sex. So I thought, oh, this probably isn't a good thing. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
That could be really great if you told the other person. You know, and you shared that, and then you brought it into your, you know, your connection, because then it would be a shared connection. But so what I'm saying is that the really super creepy, really bizarre thing that I've discovered in being interested in really amazing sex my whole adult life, and having the experience of that, and connecting that with yoga, and connecting that with consciously creating reality, and connecting that with healing of the body and things like that. The thing is that, let's lost my train of thought here for a second. We'll talk about something else. It'll come back.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll come back. We can talk about something else. How do we get in touch with, because you helped me get in touch with my inner hotness. So can you tell the readers how
you did that? 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years ago, and recently in our conversations.
Okay. So what I'm trying to, I remember what I was going to say. It's like the body has a complete identity of its own about sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like a whole deal going on, and it's not necessarily just what you think. I don't mean you, but I mean like, you know, a person.
Yeah.
It's not just what a person thinks about sex. It's what you got programmed with. Do you understand what I'm saying?
And absolutely. And by programming, what do you mean? Messages that we receive growing up from parents, school, institutions, religion. Do you mean that? Society?
Yeah, so it's sort of like the personal programming that happened individually, and then the collective, and then there's things that carry over from, you know, the collective unconscious, we could say. Like, there was a lot of things that happened in the, you know, last, say, 1,000 years or 500 years that had to do with burning witches and really horrible sort of holocaust against women in that regard, and a lot of that programming is very, very close still, even though it's not like nobody's too afraid of actually getting hauled out in the street and burned as a witch these days. It's so close to the time when that happened that that programming is still quite strong. And, you know, you could just go talk with your girlfriends or at a dinner party or something about, oh, yeah, and I was journaling, and then I did my dreams, and then we got some herbs, and then I did a spell, and all of a sudden you're going to get, like, a lot of heat usually from people at the table, no matter who it is. Like, it's going to get really maybe tense, or people are going to, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, the programming isn't necessarily, yeah, so it's different for each person, but then there's collective programming, and then there's, you know, what happened to you. And what I'm trying to say is that all of that programming is primarily happening to your body. Your body's like this super amazing computer, right?
Yes.
And this computer is way more capable of holding programming than, you know, the latest, greatest, you know, computer these days.
Mm.
If that makes any sense. So
absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so, but what we're dealing with, you know, what I'm aware of is that the spiritual being is completely different than the body and 100% totally free of all that programming. Like, it doesn't have any of that. With Al Praslian and the stuff that I do, this is the foundation that's worked for me to have, you know, amazing experiences in sexuality that, you know, I'm continuing to expand, which is what love does. It expands. And, those experiences, just 1 second. I'm going to be right back. Okay. I have to take care of something in the room.
Okay. No problem.
Just give me one moment.
I'm with you. I'm still here.
Okay.
I'll keep talking just in case somebody tunes in and they think that there's
nobody there. I'm back. There was just like something in the room that was breaking my concentration.
Ooh, that was a spirit.
So this, the spiritual being, the idea, the spiritual entertainment idea that I've worked with, and it's, you know, like led me on amazing adventures with sexuality, of experiencing things, is that the spiritual being is free of all the programming.
Okay.
So there's no, you don't need to get, you know, free of your programming as a spiritual being, but because you're in your body all the time, then as a spiritual being, you might want to attend to cleaning the programming out of your body.
Okay, so how do we attend to cleaning the programming out of the body?
Well, if we start with just this awareness, which I thought for our show today, we could just, you know, talk about whatever we want, but if we could also help people out with the idea that, just to contemplate, just to consider that your existence in this lifetime is as a spiritual being inhabiting a human body, not just as some sort of concept that you hear and then you go right back to identifying with your body and your body programming and everything that's connected to it, like your family and your friends, and, you know, it just sort of ripples out and all of a sudden you're imprisoned. You as a spiritual being are no longer awake or aware. And so if you kiss somebody or you touch somebody or you're in bed with somebody or you're romantically, you know, want to interact with somebody or you want to create a reality where you can do something together with somebody that involves your creativity, your life force at the body level, you're completely unable to do it unless you follow the programming that you were programmed with. If, on the other hand, you're just aware, hey, I am a fully realized divine spiritual being and I'm in a body, and just from that starting point, it's amazing what can happen, because you're free right away then. Your body might not be free. Your body might be, you know, programmed, and you might be poor, you might be rich, or whatever situation you're in. But as a spiritual being, this is the great achievement that all the yogis and so on, and the tantra yoga people, and, you know, everybody's going for with meditation and spirituality. You can just have it just by instantly realizing, I am a spiritual being. And I'm free, and my body's the one that's going through the karma and the lifetimes and so on.
Okay, so I am a spiritual being, and I am free.
Well, we have to remember that a foundation thought pattern that I use to be able to even talk about stuff like this is I believe that it's better to have no beliefs. That helps me a lot to be freer, just to have conversations, just to think about things. So, again, that's spiritual entertainment. So it's not something that, oh, you should believe that it's better to have no beliefs. It's that spiritual beings are so beset by the programming of the body that they often are like somebody who's, you know, like Harry Houdini, wrapped up in all kinds of stuff that they've got him locked up in, and he has to escape.
That's a great metaphor.
That's what the body's like. Yeah, a person just is going, oh, I like that person, and I want to have sex with them, and I want to, you know, interact with them. And it's like, that's what you're thinking when you're reading your 50 Shades of Grey book. You're thinking somewhere deep inside, you're feeling like, I'd actually like to have real experiences of my sexuality, but you're like, you're chained up in 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? I've asked you this before, but I want to ask it on the show. I think that we just project all our thoughts, programming, conditioning, past experience. I think we project onto other people, particularly in relationships. So I think, in a sense, we could almost just take anyone off the street, a random person, and project everything onto them and have a relationship. And I think we do. What do you think about that? And I don't think we see the person anyway.
I've thought about it a lot, and like I said, when you start with, I believe that it's better to have no beliefs, then you can entertain beliefs and sort of try them on and then take them off if you don't like them. And I tried that one for quite a few years and with some really expert people. You know, the idea that all relationships, you know, and everything that happens in the world is like a reflection of who I am. And then I'm sort of relating to myself in my personal growth journey. And one day somebody had this quote on Facebook from Jimi Hendrix, and I don't think that I can remember it exactly, but it was something about that he used to think that way, you know, that the world was my mirror. And then he took his soul and smashed the mirrors. And the idea was that before he did this smashing of the mirrors of himself in some kind of a way, that all he was saying, he says, all I can see, like all I could see was me.
Mm.
And then I took my soul and smashed those mirrors, and that the part that he said after that is what I can't remember, but basically it set him free. And I just read that and I thought, oh, that's a cool quote. And I, you know, shared it and stuff like that. A couple of months later, when somebody asked me a very similar to the question that you just did, what do I think about that concept of the world's my mirror, and especially in relationships? And I started putting up that quote, and then all of a sudden I realized, wow, just hearing that quote that one time smashed my mirrors. And I suddenly, and for a couple of months unknowingly, and since then, I don't like that belief anymore. It doesn't work for me because I don't want to be having a relationship with myself. I want to have relationships with other people.
Okay.
When it comes to sex, it's way better to have sex with the other person than to have sex with yourself. I think a lot of people would agree with that. Some people wouldn't, but that's, you know, something you can think about.
Or even more icky, sex with a family member, because that's often what we do, project someone, a parent or a family member, their qualities, we project them onto other people, particularly partners and romantically linked people. So that's even worse, having sex with, we're not even having sex with that person, we're having sex with a family member because we're projecting them onto them. That's a bit icky, isn't it?
It's super icky and really, really wise of you to bring that up, because now the thing is that when we're talking about it on a radio show, then it's general. But when somebody's actually doing it to somebody, then it's specific. And then you're usually caught up in it, as they say.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh, yeah, I see it a lot. As a therapist, I see it a lot. So men are talking about their, you know, wives or girlfriends or partners, and they're not. They're talking about their mother, and they're projecting all these qualities. And I can see so clearly that they're not even seeing the partner that they're with.
And this is due to the programming. And so, the you know, in the work that I do, I've come around to, like, I just want people to be free. I want them to be able to make love and have sex in a really, really fulfilling way, meaning that it's going to change and be different. And there's a lot of things to learn, and just knowing the basic set of things that there are to learn, and then having somebody to do it with, like, it's just ecstatic and unbelievable, you know, what you can do reliably, for sure. It's what your body does, like all the stuff that filled with all the books and all the different ways that you can do all the stuff. But it's meaningless unless you actually have somebody that you can do it with and you're free enough to try it. Otherwise, all that programming kicks in.
Okay.
So the idea of how do you work with your own programming is just somehow, some way, and I have a way that I think we can introduce into the conversation about soulmates, you need some way to get, like, literally, not just conceptually, but literally free enough of your body so that you can work with it instead of just identifying altogether.
Okay. How do we do that?
Well, it's kind of like the science fiction part is, okay, you're incarnated, right? And now as an adult, anyone listening to this is probably going to be an adult, I hope. And so you're imagining, like, when you're incarnated or you're a little tiny baby, and so your spirit somehow got into your body through the incarnation process. But what if you imagine that who you are right now listening to this radio show, or me, or you, Sarah, we're just for the sake of imagining the answer to your question, that we just sort of jumped into our body right now today. And part of the deal was that you become aware of, you know who you are, you know what the whole programming of the body is. It's like jumping into a new car, but you know about cars and you know how to look at the navigation system, and it's not a problem. You're not like all freaked out like from another planet, you don't know what cars are. You jump into the body and all of a sudden you kind of like download all the information or something when you were born, you know what you're, you know the whole deal. You know, you got your ID in your pocket, you're all set to go, you're in this body. That's the concept. But let's just take that concept, which is a bit, I just made that up, and put it into something called soulmates. People go, oh, I want to meet my soulmate.
Yeah.
How many people do you know that have met their soulmate, and then that's what they talk about all the time? They talk about their soul and how their soul purpose is together and what their, this is what our soul is doing in our life. And, and by the way, these are some of the lifetimes that we shared together as soulmates. That's what it means, right? It means you shared lifetimes.
Yeah, lots of those people, yeah.
But of course, that's not what it means to people. Some kind of really important sexual romantic person, then all of a sudden the definition of what it is becomes plagued by the programming.
Okay, how does it
become
plagued?
See what I mean? Like, well, let's say that you and I decided that we were soulmates because we had some kind of experience. Like, we bumped into each other and then we had a drink, and then we're just like, oh, she's my soulmate,
Yeah.
Okay, and somehow there's an emotional feeling, like a big, strong emotional feeling and a mutual desire, and this is my soulmate. But then if we're like, okay, we're having that thing where we think we're each other's soulmates, we feel that we're each other's soulmate. Now let's get out a pen and paper or get out our mobile devices, whatever, and let's start, writing out and talking for quite a while about what that means to us.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think, I've already said what I think about projecting onto other people. So for me, if I was to say, not that I ever would say anything as naff and cheesy as someone's my soulmate, but if I were in the past, it would probably have meant something like I was projecting all those stupid romantic films and books that we grew up with. Hey, this is my soulmate. No. So that's what it would have meant in the past for me, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I really, I actually like all that stuff about soulmate. That's where all the romance and, what I'm trying to get to is where we can have, every novel you've ever read, every, experience you've ever imagined, that you can actually live a version of that in your actual experience.
Give me your definition of romance, because I don't believe in romance. I don't, want anyone to give me any flowers. I don't want anyone to get down on their knee with a ring. I think all notions of romance are corny. So give me your definition of romance.
It's it's the same as soulmate. It's a one-word description of a whole library of programming. So it's kind of like you're totally right to say, well, I don't want any of that, because it will shut you down. It's like marriage is a one word. Relationship is a one word. boyfriend is a one word, girlfriend is a one word. You've got all these one words that are like doors to massive, huge programs that normally numb people. Because how could your definition of being somebody's girlfriend be this, be right for you? There, and there's no conscious interaction like, oh, I want to be your girlfriend or I want to be your boyfriend. And then now that's a starting gate for consciously creating that concept together. No, it doesn't work like that. You just get trapped in the labels, and they have huge, massive amounts of, you know, electromagnetic and chemical programming behind them with massive support from all kinds of other bodies and TV shows and books. And it's just like really, really, really big. It's like plugging into something.
But they're all about indoctrinating people, aren't they? And keeping people consuming and buying things and conforming. That's what I
think. Yeah. But okay, well, let's take it back to the word romance that you asked me about.
Mm.
Because if we start like being like anti-programming, then we're not, we can't have fun. If you get into the programming, like, okay, romance. Well, there's a whole library of experiences. And you can custom make them for yourself. Like, because if you're not allowed to have romance because you don't want to, because it's programming, then you can never go on. Then you can never go for a walk on the beach with somebody and hold hands.
Oh, wouldn't that be a crime if you could never do that?
Well, but it happens. But nobody can ever give you flowers because, you know, you're like, oh, fuck off. You know, you just gave me flowers. I don't want. You know?
Okay.
What I'm trying to say from the beginning is that as a spiritual being, you can be free. You are free, but you're in this body, and the body's not necessarily free. The body's programmed. So in order to experience the illusion world that we call reality in a sexual way that you can kind of move and navigate through the richness of the programming, you know, finding your way to ultimate freedom, it can be quite an excellent adventure if you just, how could I say, you can't distance yourself from your body. You can, right? But you know, that's what I was saying. That's the girl laying in bed or whatever with a staring at the ceiling, right?
Oh, yeah, dissociating, yeah.
Dissociating, exactly. So, like, of course we can do that, but to be in the body and work in the programming, that's when sex can really come alive, in my opinion, and experience. My opinions are based only on experience, so that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Through my own experience. And I know that every new person that I've, you know, worked with or related with, it's always the same, meaning it always works that when you bring your spiritual being into your body. I was going to tell you the story of this man that I've worked with a lot in the past, and he's on the other side now. He's actually the person that I think is in Justin Bieber's body now, but that's a whole other part of my thing. But when we used to go over to his house, he would hug people at the front door because he was a spiritual healer, and that was part of his thing. Every person walked in the front door, this 6'4" blonde, you know, gentle, sweet, but strongly spiritual, you know, presence. And he would just, you know, man or woman, he'd just give you this big hug, and he'd hold you. Just kind of hold you. And he was really doing something. So you could tell. Yeah. And you know what he would always say, kind of like whisper in your ear? Because, you know, when you're in an embrace like that, it's so close that you're the only person who can really hear what he's saying. And he would just say, like, you know, like, he kind of encourage you to just be patient. You know, like, don't break the embrace yet. Because he'd just go, like, we're bringing you into your body. We're bringing you. If he was hugging you, he'd say your name. He'd be like, Sarah, we're just bringing you into your body.
Oh, I love it.
And so what does that mean? He was connecting to your spiritual being with an embrace of love and heart connection and lovingly bringing your spiritual being into the body, which can be a nightmare of programming. Like the experience that any person is having at any given time in their incarnation, in their current incarnation, meaning in their current body, in this lifetime, like you said, it could still to this day be, you know, what's that word, fraught with the programming from childhood, from the adolescence, all the experiences, all the memories. It connects to other people,
religion,
and other things.
Institutions,
yeah. It can just be to the point where you're like, I don't want to be in my body. But nobody's going to say that. Some people might, right? Or they might be suicidal or something. But for the most part, people are adapting to the situation, and so they're going to have programming that makes them, you know, feel like they want to keep living. But if you're just going to, like, really, truly embrace, like, having a party lifestyle that has sex in it, whether that's with, you know, one person, it's like however you want to have the true sexual lovemaking experience be part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If your spiritual being is in your body, whatever you whatever way you conceive of or conceptualize your spiritual being, oh, my soul, my spirit, oh, I had different lifetimes, or I'm only here for this lifetime, it doesn't matter. As long as you just connect with the fact that I'm a, like, if you go, I'm not my body, that's difficult because then you're, like, disassociating or dissociating, right?
Absolutely.
You know, like, try and, like you can't hold the position of, I'm not my body. People will be like, so, so we can't touch them, or what, how does this work? Like, you gotta be there, you gotta be present. It's more of a thing of consciousness where you're just, you're aware, you're conscious, you're free as a spiritual being, and you're aware that your body isn't necessarily thinking the same as you are.
It helps if you're there. If you're right there in the moment and you're really staring into someone's eyes in a beautiful tantric way, I mean, there's nothing better than that, and you're really connecting.
It could get really tricky at that point. I hear you, and that's a perfect example of, because how do you know that it's not like this perfect sort of body connection, like where you're doing the body connection really well for the moment? But what are the spiritual beings doing? You know, are the spiritual beings connecting, you know, with this deep gaze? Or is it the bodies, you know, doing a really nice job? Like, if you kiss somebody, the funny thing about a kiss is, like, if it works at all, then it really works. It's just funny. Like, you can't kind of screw up a kiss, because if you screw up a kiss, then you didn't really consider it a kiss, right?
Oh, you can screw up a kiss. Have you never kissed someone that's a bad kisser?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you did kiss somebody who's a bad kisser, then it's not really a kiss. It doesn't count. Right?
Absolutely.
And everybody can tell, right? Whoever had a bad kiss and was like, oh, I don't know if that was a good kiss or not.
Mm.
Like, you just know. That just knowing isn't maybe an attribute of the spiritual being. The spiritual being just knows all kinds of stuff about sex. And a lot of it has to do with feelings.
Okay.
See, like, who doesn't know what a good kiss is? Almost everybody knows what it is because somewhere, sometime, somehow they've had it, or they've dreamed of one, or they've imagined one, and almost everybody knows what a bad kiss is. So it's the same with holding hands. You know, holding hands, and you enjoy holding hands, and you wish that you weren't holding hands, it's really easy to tell.
Mm.
Having somebody touch you at all, it's really easy to know if you want somebody to touch you when they're touching you, or even usually people are so sensitive to that, and I don't mean in a bad way, but people are usually so sensitive, meaning so knowing, so aware, so conscious, so skilled at sex, no matter what level of experience they supposedly have, or what beliefs or ideas they have about romance, marriage, etc., of those words we talked about, they know when somebody's near them, if they want that person to touch them or not.
Mm, absolutely. Well,
so these are things that I'm suggesting, that knowing is more like the spiritual being, and the idea of whether you do get touched or not, or how you touch and so on, it starts to involve the body and the awareness of the body, and it can become very, very complicated. Just to get near somebody and to, you know, get touch them a little bit in a way that has the intention that you want it to have, or for them to touch you in a way that has the intention that you want it to have, that's a great art.
It certainly is.
And if you did have somebody touch you like that, like at a party or a social event or something, you might walk away and that's all you could think about all night.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, definitely. Oh. Yeah.
you know, what was I feeling, and what is that person? Like, it's kind of almost beyond words. And so sometimes the spiritual beings, they come through and they connect with each other, and it's just a look, or it's a touch, or it's a sound of the voice, or it's a feeling that you have in your heart center, something like that. But to actually turn it into something that's fulfilling and exciting and fun, whatever that is, like a project or an event, or, you know, meaning like a romantic getaway could be a project or an event, or it could be anything, right? But where you're doing it with the spiritual beings, doing like, oh, we have this connection, we have these feelings about each other, and to not have to shut them down, and to let them keep flowing, and to find your way through the programming.
Okay, I'm with you. So I can't do any of that tantric gazing, because that's just my body. It's not really that deep soul connection. Is that what you're saying? But you see, I'm going to slightly contradict you, because I've had the experience of just looking into someone's eyes. No sex, no touching, just the experience of looking into someone's eyes and feeling orgasmic.
Absolutely. And you probably can also look in somebody's eyes and just feel like, you know, forget about it. It's stupid.
Yeah, certainly, yeah.
I don't want to look in your eyes. Stop looking in my eyes. Or, you know, they have a thing called, why are you staring at me?
Do they?
Stop staring at me. Sure, yeah. It's out there in the programming. Everybody knows that one, I think.
Not me, but anyway.
Creeping me out. He just keeps staring at me.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
So you can take the same exact thing, like looking, that's what I meant, is that what you just showed, that you completely understand exactly what I'm talking about, and I wouldn't be surprised if almost everybody else does too. The difference between the being and the body is often distinguished by that feeling. If it feels great, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the being, because I'm sure that a lot of women, like you said, who read 50 Shades of Grey feel great reading that book. That's my understanding. But I don't think that, you know, or you can watch a lot of, you know, TV programming and movie programming and so on, and it makes you feel like you enjoyed that or something, but it's sort of, you know, working your body. The being has a more gentleness, a more sweetness, a more, you know, softness to it. And to keep that going and infuse that into the body, that would be what you were, I think, talking about, like when you've had an orgasmic, because it's pretty much 24/7 orgasmic when you're connecting with your being to life or to another person. That's a really, really big sign that it's your being. It feels ecstatic and it feels orgasmic. It also feels gentle, it feels sweet, it feels kind. And the thing that's so difficult is that sometimes you can have, you know, that feeling, and then you also have like arguing and fighting, or, you know, actions or behaviors or touches that are like, what? You know, like it's like in conflict with what you're feeling as a being. And there's a lot of difficulty with consciousness also, because people don't have, there's not much of a language for being with somebody as a being. And there's the words are usually, you know, body words, and it's almost as if there's some kind of consciousness in the world that anytime any being connects with another being, that they want to sort of throw you into a word and trap you by a word. Like you have certain feelings for somebody, and then they want to get you imprisoned in the word marriage, or they want to get you imprisoned in the word boyfriend and girlfriend, or going out with each other. I'm not saying those words are bad. I'm just saying that they seem to be used for imprisonment more than for expressing how you feel about somebody.
Okay, now that brings me very neatly onto, it's a really complicated subject. It's a big minefield, and that is about when you're having sex with someone, is it exclusive? Or
there's another one of those words.
Okay, well, look, let me put it this way. You and I had this discussion before. Okay, when you're in a relationship, I think, this is personally, I think that it just gets messy if you have sex with other people. Not that you don't want to have sex with people, you're not ever going to stop wanting to have sex with other people or having flirtations. I think they're okay. But I think I've got no judgments about people that do have, again, I'm going to use some words that, they are words, open relationships. However, I've got no judgments about them. Great. I think it gets messy. So you tell me what you think.
Okay, I think once again you've done a fabulous job of illustrating what we're talking about, because I felt like you basically sat me down in a chair, took a thick rope, tied me up all the way around, and put a gag on me with all of those words and concepts. And as a spiritual being, I'm kind of going like, wow, what can I say, you know, to that? Because it was like, if you and I maybe were like working on this, professionally, let's say at a restaurant or something, we both had notepads, then what I would do is I would slow down the maybe it took you 30 seconds to say what you said, right?
Yeah.
And you put out the word, and I would write down all the words that were spoken, because they were excellent. There was, in a relationship.
Exclusive.
There was exclusive, and there was other, having sex with other people.
Mm.
Like every, and then I'd ask you, I'd go, so all these phrases, can we agree that all these phrases are very well-known common terms? It's not like what you were just speaking from your heart about your life or about the life of whomever we were talking about or about each other or about me. See, that's where every time you can draw the line between, are we just talking generally about, you know, sex and romance, or are we talking about you? Are we talking about me? Are we talking about somebody else? Or is somebody, and when you do that and you start personalizing it, then all of a sudden those words can be helpful. Now, of course, they can turn into debates and arguments and fights, but if you're very careful, then you could say, for example, take the topic of, okay, let's say that there's some lovers. I like to use the word lovers because that word seems to be quite free of, like, you can't quite pin that down. You know what I mean?
Okay, I like it. Love.
Like love is the greatest magic of them all. So it does have a certain power, a certain magical power to banish, you know, the imprisonment of all the other words when you stick to lovers. So I like using all the words, but I like using them in a way that it supports sex and romance and love and creativity that can come from that. So if we say that we've got some lovers, right? But then let's say that they're exclusive.
Mm.
Okay, so you and I both know what that means, right?
Yeah.
But you see, right there, we commiserated in imprisonment of lovers. Because exclusive could mean like, oh, yeah, they're the ones who own that book and they have the exclusive rights to it. Like, what does it really mean? It's this nonverbal understanding that we have that it means that they're not having sex with anybody else.
Okay.
And what does that really mean, not having sex with somebody else? Like, how far do you have to go to explain what something isn't? Like, okay. So you're not having sex. Why do I need to know? You know, right now, where you are, it's probably dark. And where I am, it's not dark. It's like, I can just say it's light. I don't need to say it's not dark.
Oh.
I could say it's sun setting, and you could say that, you know, the sun is down and it's nighttime there. Instead of, if I go, it's not dark, I'm not having sex with anybody else. Like, what it really means is, like, maybe what you would really say is, there's lovers and they have their reasons for choosing together consciously to only have sex with each other.
Oh, I love it. Lovers who are consciously choosing to only have sex with each other. Okay.
But who does that? Most people just go down the road of like, oh, we're in a relationship. And how many people that are in a relationship even honestly say to each other, so we're exclusive, right? Yeah, it's exclusive.
Mm.
People get into business and they sign contracts. People get into relationships, they don't even talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just supposed to be this understanding. Pardon
well,
me.
Also, look, people get into business and they sign contracts and they still renege on those contracts, in just in the same way that people enter into relationships and they say that they're exclusive and then they're not. So,
exactly. So it's not really about controlling the situation. It's about, you know, just having the ability to go with the flow with your conscious awareness, and you can, you know, discuss the difference between a couple, well, see, there I used one of the words. The difference between lovers who are interacting with each other in some way in life, and part of that is saying that to each other that we're exclusive with each other, and they speak about that, and the comparison between a couple who, or between two people who are, or however many people who are in a lover's situation, and they're not talking about it, there's just a nonverbal understanding. Like, if you have a non, if you have a verbal understanding, then what happens is it can be more creative. Like, let's say I'm not the police against using all these words. I like to use them. And now that we've built some consciousness, maybe I can use some of them and we can talk faster about these things. So let's say that there's a couple who's in a relationship and they go to a cocktail party and the girl finds some guy attractive or some guy finds her attractive. There's some, you know, sparks. And then can she go up to her man that she's in an exclusive relationship with and go like, wow, I really like that guy over there. Or that guy's coming on to me. You know, in a way where she's expressing that she likes it. It could lead to violence. It's that severe, right? Like, she's, you know, has something going on with some guy at the party that then that she's there with, you know, the guy that she's with. The guy that she's with wouldn't, you know, in a movie situation, he would end up taking the other guy outside or maybe right in the middle of the room, punching him to show that he is with this person and she's with him and it's exclusive. And that would be considered romantic because he's like...
Well, by some people, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't by me. I wouldn't think so. I would call that, look, when I go out with my dog, when I'm walking my dog, if another dog comes near me, particularly if a dog sits anywhere near my feet, my dog goes berserk. He starts attacking the other dog. And it's his way of saying, that is my owner. That is the person that feeds me, that provides a home for me, that takes care of me. That's my owner. You stay away. They look after me. They're not looking after you. You're not taking my owner off me. So that's just a primordial animal thing. There's nothing romantic about that. So that's what I think, that what we call in our society jealousy is just fear of abandonment. Or even worse, if you want to be really cynical about it, fear of losing the person that provides for you, whether it's financially or, you know, they provide a home or they do something for you. I mean, do I sound really cynical to say that?
No, now you're really talking as far as I'm concerned, because wouldn't it be great if it could go very fast and you're at the party and the other guy comes up to you or you come up to him or whatever, and then you tell the guy that you're with that, you know, you're probably going to feel jealous and you'll probably feel, you know, afraid that I'm going to abandon you. And I might, but I really like that other guy over there. And then he could talk to you about that and you could talk about all of that. Normally people wouldn't even be able to have that skill of talking in therapy, but it's really available and accessible to any one of us if we just, you know, talk about how we're feeling in any moment, aware that there's this body imprisonment that is literally saying you can't talk about anything. You're not allowed because you're in an exclusive relationship and that has all these unspoken rules. Instead of just going like, you know, I'm just a spiritual being, I'm in a body and I'm having a life experience right now and I'm free and I can, you know, talk to other people about anything I want. And then you start to be loving and respectful and responsible. You might not want to talk about it because whatever reason, but I'm just saying if you're not free, you can't talk about anything and nothing can happen and things can't,
absolutely.
Develop.
You're right. So what would you say to me if I said to you, say you and I were lovers, and I said, I feel feelings are coming up for me that are about me not being good. You are attracted to that other person. You might even want to bonk them or be bonking them. Feelings are coming up for me about abandonment. I feel compared. I'm getting into feeling compared and I don't feel good enough. What would you say to me?
Can you run that by me again? So we're lovers.
Yeah.
And there's somebody that you want to bonk.
No, that you want to bonk.
Oh, I want to bonk.
And I was jealous. Which for me means jealousy is a fear of abandonment, and it's about competition and not feeling good enough. So those are the feelings that I would be dealing with. Yeah.
you got jealous because I mentioned it before I did it, and you trusted me that if in our conversation, this that it was, you know, going to be too difficult to heal the jealousy and work with the various issues, that it wasn't worth our while to go ahead and have me do that with somebody else? Or was it like after I already did it?
Either before, during, or after. We probably wouldn't be having the conversation during your bonking. You never know, though. But anyway, before or after?
It's amazing you can talk about when you're bonking, talking to each other about kind of things when you're not. And, that's, you know, what I'm saying is that the freedom can be amazing. So, because there's a really big difference if you, well, for some people it isn't, but if you say, you know, what you're feeling about what you might like to do or what you're imagining doing before you do it, and then the person trusts you and you have, you know, a conversation where you can, you know, work things out together instead of trying to control each other, it could be quite enjoyable. It could be very exhilarating. It could be a lot of fun. It could be very creative with your life. And one thing could lead to another in terms of the adventure, you know, of what could happen in life, not just in bed, but in all of life, because, you know, romance leads to everything. Well, let's say sex leads to everything, you know, following your sexual feelings, following, you know, your heart in terms of what you want to do sexually leads to everything, because, oh, you'll end up, you know, being somewhere else with someone else, meeting other people, like, you know, it brings you into a whole new environment and whole new situations. And, you know, you talk about something over breakfast, about their ideas, like things develop, like depending who you're with, right? It takes you in different directions.
Absolutely. Now, you said something really funny to me when we were talking before, and that was you said that I should, if I wanted to suggest the idea to my partner of me having sex with someone else, then I should start off by getting him upset about something else. So one day I should say, you're going to be a bit upset, but I've really burnt your toast. And then he gets a bit upset about that. And then I gradually build up the feeling so that then one day I just say, you're going to be upset because I'm going to have sex with this guy. Yeah, is that right?
Well, I think what happened is that I was slipping into my, you know, counselor mode, and I was, you know, trying to plant ideas that you could actually use, because I'm kind of like to have the things we talk about turn into something that you can actually do and then have the experience of how wonderful it is. So I was trying to lead you into a wonderful experience. And what I was setting up was, I think, based on what I was hearing personally, and I don't know if it would apply generally, but it might. But what I was saying personally was that there's three things that I've noticed are there in relationships that block emotional communication. And there are these three phrases. They have different variations, but it's like, you're upset. That's number one. Number two is what's called being uncomfortable. Oh, I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that. Because like, oh, I was thinking about, you know, taking my secretary out and doing whatever I want with her. And you could say, I'm feeling uncomfortable about that idea. Like, if you would even be able to say I'm feeling uncomfortable would be, you know, pretty amazing for most people. So being uncomfortable, being upset, and then the third phrase, and I painted a picture of a three-headed dog, and, you know, each one of the one dog's head was called you're upset, the other one's called I'm uncomfortable, and the third head of the dog was called you're angry. It's usually not I'm angry. Usually you're angry.
Yeah.
So there's a one, you know, it's a three-headed dog, and it's standing at the gates of hell, because that's usually where, you know, all of the nightmares of communication and fighting and divorce and arguments and so on are on the other side of that, you know, three-headed dog of I'm upset, you're upset, I'm uncomfortable, you're angry. Because it's, I think what happens is somehow those have gotten into the programming as, like ways of talking about, I don't want to talk about it.
Mm.
Like there is a, you know, a programming, you know it, it's just, that's what it is, right? Like I've got a headache, that's very specific in a certain situation, but a much more general program that people use is, I don't want to talk about it, or I don't want to talk about it right now.
Mm.
But if you go a little step past, I don't want to talk about it, then you're going to meet the three-headed dog. And if you can handle that dog, that's what I was suggesting, and get sort of like where that dog keeps coming out and you keep having a conversation with it, meaning, you know, with your person, in a way that's not that serious, like burning the toast, or, you know, like you're going to be upset, but like, you know, I'm going to be late coming home tonight. I hope that doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. Oh, you might be angry. Don't be angry at me. And like just where you would kind of use your NLP skills or whatever kind of, you know, hypnotic languaging skills that you have, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And you would, you know, sort of juggle those three words into as many new phrases and sentences as possible that connect with actual life experiences that, with that person. And soon, and the whole point of it was, I don't know how many, 10, 20, 30, 40 times of doing that, and this person is going to be used to you getting them upset, making them feel uncomfortable, and somebody's angry. And you would be basically past the three-headed dog and able to have an emotional conversation with that person.
Yes,
it would start happening. You'd be able to talk about anything, because that dog is what comes up to say, we can't talk about anything.
Mm, that dog does come up. Yeah.
In long-term relationships, or people who are, which most of us, right, who have long-seated issues, because it could come up with a new person, but it's like the stored and repressed things that are protected by that three-headed dog. You're not really getting into them. Once you get past that dog, you can start getting into it, and then you can have an emotional conversation about just whatever it is. Not about the person's past or about this or that, but just about, oh, I want to sleep with that other guy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, so tell our listeners how they can find out.
Oh, well, anywhere in the world, you can get on a computer or a mobile device and go to togetherwithdivinelove.com.
Mm.
And I think right near the top of the page, it says George L. Presleyan, my name somewhere. You click on that, and there's, you can find out a lot about me like that.
Brilliant.
Just togetherwithdivinelove.com and click on my name. And
okay, so that's www.togetherwithdivinelove.com.
Yeah, and I just recently found out you don't need to put the www in anymore. You
what
can just
do?
Put URLs in and they just go there. I was surprised.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that's good to know. You would know more than me. I'm a bit rubbish with techie things. My talents and skills lie elsewhere. Okay, do you have a Facebook?
Yeah. I think you mean, what is it, like facebook.com/George?
Can people hook up
George,
with you on Facebook? Because everyone's on Facebook nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah, sure. George. I think that's all that it is.
Okay, great.
Well, you put my name in anywhere on the internet, and like I have a unique name, so George.
Yeah,
just,
there aren't many of
problem.
You.
Yeah, there's only me. I was going to bring up all my sites and stuff. And my Facebook is pretty clearly listed on my site as well. You can just click on that to get to it.
Okay, great. Well, listen, it's coming to the end of the show, so I don't really want to stop talking. So you and I are going to have a chat later. We'll go on Skype, yeah?
Oh, okay, great. You want to do that after the... okay,
yes.
We'll do that.
Yes, let's
okay.
do that. Okay, so... And where are you off to in the world next, or can you not really, you're not really in a position to say that?
Well, in when we talked about it earlier, I was just saying that for me in life right now, it's a combination of sort of, I feel like I'm at the culmination of a lot of things I've been working on for 23 years. Like it really seems like time for a lot of things to sort of come to fruition. And at the same time, the actual life experience is that absolutely everything across the board in every area of my life is like a mysterious blank. Like I really don't know what's going to happen next or where I'm going to live or where I'm going to go or who I'm going to be with or how I'm going to make money or anything. All of that it's sort of like I've got this long-term dream that seems like it's about ready to come to ground in new and bigger ways than ever before. And at the same time, it seems like, I don't know, I think like sometimes your dream shatters before it materializes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always told people, like, your dream has to end just before it comes true. Because
yeah.
It's no longer a dream, it's now going to be a material reality. So I'm just, like, really excited about, you know, what could happen, you know, next. And at the same time, I'm feeling like, wow, it's all over. And I don't know, you know, nothing is going to happen next. I'm going to die. And you know what
no,
I mean?
Wait.
Like, that was
exciting.
The last dollar I ever made.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show now. So thank you so much for coming on. 1,000 thank yous to you. It's been a great pleasure for me, a personal pleasure, and I'm sure a great pleasure for the listeners as well. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. You're very welcome for having me. And I'm really glad that we've had the chance to talk about these things that we did. And I hope that it helps people have better sex from, you know, being who they really are in bed instead of all caught up in programming.
Fantastic. Great note to end on. Okay, well, I will speak to you later. And listeners, I will see you all next week. Same time, same place. Look forward to it. Have a great week, everyone.